back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Crafted a new bumper sticker during the break. We are all seat fillers.
Yes, I think we should put it out there. And right now, you know what? Your talk of consistency for the Sharks for many, many years led me to think, okay, yes, they had the players. And then I just pulled up the list of head coaches that the Sharks have had.
Interesting list.
Yeah, but part of the consistency was that they had consistency in coaching as well from the mid-90s, you know, like when
the
they
Kevin
hired
Kevin Constantine Darryl's- era?
Post-Constantine era.
Post-Constantine.
Yeah, so I'm saying like 97, Darryl Sutter gets hired. He coached over 400 games. After him was Ron Wilson. He was there for 5.5 years. And Todd McLellan was there for 7 years. And Pete DeBoer was there for almost 5 years.
Like got him to the final.
Yes, but you go from Sutter, Wilson, McLellan, and DeBoer. There's your consistency. You have great coaching for the better part of 20 plus years. And that's also why the Sharks were so good, so consistent. So now it comes down to, again, they have a guy in Ryan Warsawski who in 82 games last year, they won 20. Mm-hmm. That's not a good stat line to have when you're 20, 50, and 12. As a head coach, you gotta jump up next year.
Correct, but you would probably agree that, and not that he was trying to lose, but I don't imagine there were much higher expectations.
No, and the way they lost games, they would lose leads and lose late, and they get blown out in the third period. And I remember when my dad, when I was in Utah, and they used to say, bad teams usually lose in the third period. Good teams find a way to win in the third period, and the Sharks found ways to lose in the third period last year. Mm-hmm.
They also had some mind-numbing losing streaks.
Yes.
Like, they would get it all figured out, they'd look good, and then all of a sudden they'd have like one win in 20 games, and you're going, what happened? What is going on here with this team? Yeah. However, and this leads me back to my surprising stat about Macklin Celebrini. It was a single game statistic.
Okay.
It was the Sharks game here in Buffalo on March 4th, which San Jose won 6-2. How many points did Celebrini have that night?
Is that the game they didn't play him late? He got banged up a little bit, but he already had...
He played 16 minutes, so yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I think there was...
No, you're right, but he still played 16 minutes.
He still played 16 minutes, but did he have 4 points?
Exactly why I asked the question. He had one.
One?
And he was the most dominant player. Honestly, it was one of the most, to me, dominating performances by a visiting player last year in Buffalo. He had one goal, no assists. And I'm like, what? He was so good that night. Remember us talking about just, you know, and we'd been seeing it a little bit, like just the playful interactions, you know, that he and Smith had been having with Toffoli and all that, and just what was growing. And again, it obviously wasn't leading to consistency and wins, but there wasn't a deflation in their young players either. Yeah. Behind the scenes when they lose, sure, of course, they're going to be disappointed. But I thought it was a real good glimpse into what they made, well, what they have for sure in Celebrini and what may happen next. But you're right. Like, I'm trying to kind of be optimistic.
Tate scored his 30th goal of the season that night. So, you know, I do remember that. But, yeah.
I'm tank half full here, obviously. Shark tank half full, like, with the team. Like, and I get it. I understand why people are negative and or skeptical as to how quickly they might turn this around. But
this or
maybe,
that, who would you rather be, the San Jose Sharks or the Chicago Blackhawks?
That's a pretty good question. I mean, You know how I love the word great, so I'll bestow that on you. Marty, that was a great question.
That was a great. Darren Dreger, have a great weekend. yeah, but it's two different types of direction right now in the way that they're building their teams. And you know, you got Connor Bedard, you got some young, but I feel like Chicago wants to be ahead right now, where San Jose is like, we're still going to just take our time and build it. But I have a, somehow I feel like I'd rather be San Jose just because of what you said early in the show. The fact that these contracts are going to fall right off in a year or two, and you've got this whiteboard, this storyboard that you can build whichever way you want.
I honestly don't even know how to answer the question. I think it's a really, really, really good one. Obviously,
Spencer Knight or Yaroslav Askarov, that could be the key to all of that. And they're both really high-end prospects, right? Spencer Knight got traded from Florida to Chicago, played well early, and wasn't great later in the season, but, you know, whatever. He's
Bedard, Celebrini, who's going to be better?
What were we just doing the other day? The top centers and whatnot, like Celebrini was on the list. Connor Bedard wasn't, mm-hmm. right? So there's your
recency bias, obviously.
But I think that there's a lot of momentum going Celebrini's way. Maybe that's why. But yeah, it could very much be those two organizations trying to see which one gets, you know, into the playoffs first.
When we mentioned that they added three 30-something defensemen, which no other team in the NHL did. The Kings tried. They stopped at two. Orlov, Letty, and Klingberg.
Yes.
In my opinion, it has to help a bit. So what will it mean for this goaltending tandem of Nedeljkovic and Askarov? Man, 2 years ago, few could have predicted this tandem.
Wasn't going to be even on your radar. Askarov was a high prospect with the Nashville Predators, gets traded to San Jose because he basically said, I will not report to Milwaukee if I'm not making Nashville. But going to San Jose, he was okay with going to the Barracuda of the AHL because he felt like there was more of a door and opportunity to be with the big club at some point. And Georgiev was, you know, the guy in Colorado that was your number one goaltender. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's not playing well. And they make a trade. They bring in Blackwood. Georgiev goes to San Jose. So that was really, really weird last year. But then, Askarov is there. Nedeljkovic comes in. If Askarov can do what he did at the AHL level, and it doesn't have to have the streak and all of that, but I think he's a good goaltender. I just want him, and maybe that's just bad of me, Asan. I think he loves the spotlight and he plays too much into it. There's got to be a focus, a maturity level. I need to see that take a jump forward. Some people would say, let the kid be the kid. Let him have fun and be himself, and I get it. But I always think that when you get to the NHL, just like in NFL, when you get to the NFL, you're a top star quarterback, there has to be a maturity level. I think that's the same thing with Askarov in San Jose.
Who do you think plays more this year for them?
I think Askarov plays more. I think it will be like really close, like 45 to maybe 38, 37 or whatever makes 82, but it will be very close. But I think Askarov plays more.
It was such a wild ride in the Penguins' crease last year. And we saw Nedeljkovic have his greatest moment, of course, here in Buffalo, scoring the goal. But like, I'm almost surprised that he went 14, 15, and 5 with Pittsburgh. I would have expected it to be a little worse than that.
Like, 8, 20, 18, and...
Yeah, 10, 18, and 2 or something, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but He's played close to 200 games. We probably should know what he's all about. He's 5 years removed from being on the all-rookie team. I mean, he's not the oldest guy. He's 29.
Yep.
Like
Niagara Heisdog. It was Nedeljkovic played across the river at the in the OHL. Mm-hmm. He had a great year at Carolina. I don't really know why. Like Carolina did not keep their goalie tandem. Like he was good, and then they moved on from him. Mm-hmm. I think there's some good there, but if you're San Jose, you're looking at the future, and Askarov has to be your guy. Mm-hmm. So you're going to play him a little bit more.
Yeah, I still think but. I'm seeing split. I'm really seeing a full split here between these two, or someone else appears. But they have to hope that these two can be good enough to, you know, not force them into any other decisions, right?
They can't. Look, the foundation of the teams, and we talked Sabres a ton. We've talked Pittsburgh. We've talked all these teams. It all is about the crease. Mm-hmm. And if you want to say you're not going to waste Celebrini and Smith and Misa and all of those guys by having bad goaltending, Askarov has to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to start building that to make sure that in 2 years from now, he's one of the top 15 goalies in the National Hockey League. You have Celebrini in year four, Smith in year four, Eklund in year four, Misa probably in year two or three.
Dickinson who we didn't mention.
Two or three.
Like Sam Dickinson is also super important here, because if their belief in this blue liner cements what they're trying to do short term with the free agents and waiver pickup, but also long term through the draft here, like if all of a sudden Dickinson and Misa like emerge from training camp this year and actually get games and stick, like what a story that would be.
Well, Chicago in the 2010s were built on those core guys. They drafted mm-hmm. Kane, drafted Toews, drafted Seabrook, drafted Keith, drafted Corey Crawford. It was that. Now, mm-hmm. they didn't draft Askarov. They acquired him, but it's a prospect that you acquire. It's almost like you developed him.
Exactly.
And then all the other guys, like if they have that core, mm-hmm. like look out.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go a little longer in the last segment, hopefully with some great acknowledgement of some wonderful people. We want you to win a key to the arena, and to do that, to win this key, which would include Sabres and Bandits season ticket memberships for the 25-26 season and pairs of tickets to five upcoming KeyBank Center Live events. All you got to do, enter to win this one-of-a-kind prize at sabres.com/key. We're back after this on Sabres Live.